Today on Real Radio.
We can't change the definition of the meaning Christmas. It's the gathering around Christ. And so we call it Christ Mass, or the Mass of Christ, or gathering around Jesus Christ, because He is the Christmas story.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. It's an entire series called The Jesus of Christmas. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, beginning this series with the presentation called The Jesus of Christmas Past, He Who Was.
Christmas, as you've heard said, if you break down the wording, now some people who are from the Catholic background, they may take this the wrong way. When I say Christmas, Christ Mass, oftentimes a Catholic will think Mass is the partaking of the communion. It's certainly translated that way or understood that way in the Catholic context. But when you look at just the pure meaning of the word Mass, if you look it up in a dictionary, Mass would mean the gathering together of people technically around Christ. That's the usage. But we could have a mass gathering of plumbers, for crying out loud. We could have a mass gathering of fill in the blank. Well, when you speak of Christmas or Christ Mass, the very word means a gathering together of people around the Christ. And, you know, all this bickering going on in the community and in the world and on radio and on TV about Christmas, it's hilarious because there's an attempt to revise what it all means. But the definition God gives, we can't change the definition of the meaning Christmas. It's the gathering around Christ. And so we call it Christ Mass, or the Mass of Christ, or gathering around Jesus Christ, because He is the Christmas story. And so Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he says, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. And so as we look at this tonight, let's look at a few things that will, I hope, prepare our hearts to celebrate this Christmas. As we look to the Jesus Christ of Christmas past, who He was. It's kind of funny to speak about Jesus in the past tense, because we always speak about Him in the present tense or in the future tense, but the fact is, what we look at it right now is that He has always been. Isn't that fun to think? He has always been. People will say, well, Jesus came into the world on His birthday, the angels announced and all that, and He was born. And people, if they're not careful, they will think that that's when Jesus started. But that's not when Jesus started. The Bible says He's eternal. That's when Jesus came into the world with skin on Him, when He took upon Himself the form of a man. As we look at our first point tonight, it's this, that Jesus was not just another good man. When we announce about Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Christmas past, let's look at what He wasn't. He was not just a good man coming into the world. When we consider Jesus, He's more than a man. And so we look at this. The Christmas story dates back. If you really want to be technical about it, my friend, listen. The Christmas story dates back to the very time of creation itself. And we're going to look at a few things in our first point about the Christmas story dating back to creation. You don't read long in the Bible until you find actually the essence of the Christmas story. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God announces in the garden the coming of the Christmas story. The Bible says there in Genesis 3:15, the Lord is speaking to the serpent. The fall has now happened, and Adam and Eve are messed up, and it's kind of a weird scene because, you know, the Lord is talking to the serpent. Satan inhabited the serpent, and you know what happens. God curses the serpent. And it says, from now on your belly, you will eat the dust of the earth, which is a freaky thing because somehow the serpent must have been something that stood upright before the fall. Because after the fall, God says, no more for you being upright. You're going to be on your belly from here on out. And you're going to slither on the ground. That's really weird. But in that scene, you've got the Lord speaking, and he says in verse 15 of chapter 3, I will put enmity, that's division and warfare, between you, that's a reference to Satan, and the woman, and between your seed, that is Satan's offspring of thought, offspring of belief, offspring of deception, those who are of Satan. There are those who Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. That's radical. That's amazing. But Jesus knows this. Jesus here, in coming into the world, fulfills the prophetic scripture of Genesis 3:15 that God spoke and said that he's going to put warfare between Satan's offspring or seed. The word in the English is the word that we would use as sperm. That's the word, seed, offspring. The descendants of Satan will war against, look what it says, her seed. And that is an amazing reference in the Hebrew to the fact that a woman would bring forth the Messiah. That it would not be of human, or I should say male origin. Joseph was the stepfather of Jesus, no doubt. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. The offspring of Mary being Jesus Christ, but God being the Father, the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, and that amazing, miraculous Christmas story is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit generating life within Mary. What an awesome thing. Something, of course, that cannot be rightly explained. It's a miracle. But God prophesied that this would be the event way back in Genesis. So we understand this, that when we consider Jesus at this Christmas, he's not just a really good man. He didn't make it through on some religious quest and achieve the high rank of Grand Poobah or some kind of a super duper sainthood. He wasn't canonized by anybody. He wasn't deemed important by a council. The Bible says that Jesus Christ would come from even back in Genesis 3:15, that a woman would bring forth the Messiah into the world, and that very Messiahship of Christ would bring warfare between Satan and the offspring of what is a reference to Mary. He shall bruise your head. That is, Jesus shall bruise, actually crush, Satan's head, but Satan shall bruise his heel. And that is a reference to the fact that Satan would inflict pain upon Jesus in his earthly life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says there in verses 8 to 14, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the Christmas story. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 is the fulfillment of the promise given by the Lord in this verse of Genesis, that there's going to be this warfare, but a Messiah would come. And so when we consider Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas past, we consider that Jesus Christ is one that has been ordained by God. So if we were to approach this as, say, a spectator, somebody who's outside of being a Christian, you've never read the Bible, who is Jesus at Christmas? The one prophesied by God, promised by God, and in fact, the Bible tells us and history tells us that Jesus was one who came into the world. And we know this not only from Bible record, but from Roman record as well, and from Christian history, Jewish history, and Roman history, that Jesus Christ came into the world. In John chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, Jesus was speaking with the Pharisees and they were dialoguing back and forth. I got a feeling that Jesus was the one wanting to dialogue. They wanted to just kill him, as was their mode of operation. Jesus had been doing tremendous miracles, tremendous teachings, and they were all up in arms. They wanted to stone him. And in John chapter 8, 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so this Jesus of Christmas past is the Jesus that announces that he is the great I am. And if you notice in your Bible, it's in capitals, I, capital A, capital M. He's invoking the very revelation of Exodus 3, when there Moses says to the Lord, "Who do I tell the people of Israel who sent me?" And he says, "You tell them I am that I am sent you." Well, Jesus said the same thing to the Pharisees. And the Bible says there, if you keep reading in John chapter 8, that they were very angry at that and they picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because they would not, and they were not willing to accept Jesus as the Jesus of Christmas past. That he was the Jesus that has always been. That Jesus Christ was not born in his origin. Jesus was born in his mission. Jesus has never not existed. When we speak of the Jesus of Christmas past, we speak of a Christ, we speak of a Savior, we speak of Jesus who is not only, as we shall see in a moment, the Savior of the world, but he's the Redeemer. Yes, but not only the Redeemer, but he's the Creator. He is Jesus. And we worship him at Christmas, and the Christians know this. We know who we worship. Isn't it amazing what's going on in the world with all this bickering and all this argument about Jesus? And I heard on the radio again, driving, I had the radio on, that there's some CBS News guy, I forget who he is, not Dan Rather, but some other guy. He said that he did a little snooping around this Christmas, and he said it's not even Christmas yet. But I've done some snooping around to find out that there's been more opposition against Jesus this Christmas than at any other time that he can find. More opposition. Why? Because it's a spiritual issue, for one thing. But I think personally that as we consider Jesus, I think there's a spiritual move to people toward Christ. Equally as so, there's a spiritual move of people against Christ. I think the lines are being drawn. And just like it was in the days of old when Jesus came into the world, don't you think that having the Bible, if you would have read the Old Testament and the book of Daniel telling you that the Messiah would come, that you've got magi that have come from the region of the Chaldeans, where Daniel once was, you've got the magi, of course we always sing, "We three kings of Orient are," right? There's more than three of them. This was a group that started with the prophet Daniel. But we think of three kings not because of the Christmas hymn. We think of three kings because of the gifts. They brought gifts. But these wise men came. It doesn't say their names and it doesn't say how many, but they came. Don't you think that people in the era of Israel would have been wondering about Jesus and been more open to his coming? And yet we find the exact opposite. We find an attack against Jesus. The Jesus Christ of Christmas past. We see an attack against his mission. And yet those who had searched the scriptures and longed for the coming of the Messiah, they were open to him. The tragic thing was, there wasn't all that many. The Jesus of Christmas past was eternal. Listen, when you settle into Christmas celebrations this week, remind yourself of these things. That Jesus was eternal. When people say, "Oh, are you still going to church?" Yeah, are you? No, silly faith, no way. Jesus, uh-uh. You need to say to them, why? Did you know that Jesus is eternal? Well, what verses, Pastor Jack, can you give me for that? When we talk about the Christmas past, Jesus of that Christmas, what can we say? That he is eternal. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's on almost every one of your Christmas cards. Isaiah 9, 6. "For unto us a child is born." I love this if you read it carefully. "For unto us a child is born." Who had a child? Mary. "Unto us a son is given." Really? Who gave the son? God. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So tell your family this week, I worship Jesus at Christmas. I celebrate true Christmas because I can go way back to the past and find Jesus Christ before time ever began. And the Bible announces that he is in fact a son given by God the Father. That he's wonderful, that he's the counselor, that he's mighty God. And when the Bible says here, everlasting Father, you might say, well, that's odd. How can Jesus be the Father? It's been better translated, the Father or governor over time. That Jesus presides over the very moments of time. God the Father has given him that task. And of course, he's the Prince of Peace. And then one of my favorite verses, you've heard it many times over the course of attending this church, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Irrefutable evidence of the eternal existence of Jesus Christ. Micah 5, 2 says, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of villages of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, even from everlasting. So you got to stop at your holiday Christmas celebrations and ask your friends, do you know anybody else who was born in Bethlehem that the Bible said whoever would be born in Bethlehem, this particular person, would have an existence that is eternal, that he's never had a beginning, he'll never have an ending, that his very nature is eternal? That's what Christmas is. The worship and celebration of he who is eternal. Your Jesus is forever. Well, not only Christmas in the Jesus who is eternal, but Christmas, a Jesus who is the Creator. Jot that one down if you would. Why do you worship Jesus? You tell them, because he's the Creator. He's not only eternal, he's the Creator. We often limit when we think of our concept of God. We see God the Father at creation. We might even let the Holy Spirit in on creation, because in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, the word is brooded, moved over the face of the waters at creation. That's kind of a neat thing. Brooded, or to brood, is the word in the Hebrew. Have you ever seen chickens? When we first moved to Chino Hills, we had chickens because we could back then. And we had chickens. And at one point, we had these little chicks. True story. We came home from church, and we had eggs in our bedroom in an incubator. And we came home, and we heard chicks, I guess the word is peeping, right? Is that what they do, peep? You know that beep, 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 beep. And we came home from church mid-morning, noonish, and looked in the incubator, and there's no chickens in there. But you could hear them. Anybody raise chickens from an egg? You ever done that? What can you hear inside the egg? You hold up the egg, and the thing's chirping. And you look at it, it's like, this is wild. So we didn't know what to do. You know, we called the chicken doctor, the vet, and said, what do we do? Do we help them out? The guy said, no, don't help them out. Because if you help them out, they'll be a weak chicken all their life. You want a strong chicken. We had six eggs in there, and they're all starting to cheep in a matter of an hour or two together. And the guy said, well, you probably only have a few of them. They all, six of them hatched. But they're all cheeping before they came out. And the guy said, just let them fight their way out, because they fight, the harder they fight, the healthier they are. And they came out. And what was cool about that thing is that after having these little chicks out there, they would huddle together. And if you bent down like this, you know, if you kind of got on the grass and bent over, they would come running underneath you. And they would hide. And the more you covered them up, the more that they cuddled in there and they got all kind of tight, you know? That's the word to brood. It's to preside over. The Holy Spirit presided over the creation. When it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. We see the Father, we see the Spirit moving, but the Bible says Jesus is the architect of creation. We don't often see him like that. When we worship Jesus at this Christmas, just know this, we are worshiping the Creator. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, but God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Plural, cosmos. It's hard to say it in plurality. Cosmos is all that can be observed, all that can be seen. Who made the universes? Did you know there's clusters and clusters of universes out there and beyond? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Jesus made them. Jesus, the creator. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the way, that's the beginning of the physical creation. He was in the beginning with God, physical creation. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's your Jesus. That's who we're going to worship. That's who we just got done worshiping a moment ago. That's the Jesus that we glorify at Christmas. That's the Jesus that the world doesn't want praised and exalted. It's a spiritual issue, people. Tonight you're here because you've decided to invest in a spiritual endeavor. And I thank God that you're here. But it's all about Jesus. It's about the Christ of Christmas. And we need him so desperately. And I just wonder, you know, if this is an indicator of the way that the world is going, the way that America is going, the direction of our society, that it's gotten so vehement against Jesus, whom so many people don't believe in, but they want to fight against him. If they don't believe in him, why don't they just leave him alone? Why don't they just look at us and say, those poor stupid Christians who believe in this fairy tale God story, that some God would send his son. What kind of a God would send his son into this world? What a fairy tale. Those poor, pathetic Christians. You would think, wouldn't you, that if they would practice what they claim to believe about our Christmas story, that they would leave us alone in our folly. But they won't, and they cannot do that, because church, it is a spiritual issue.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Jesus of Christmas, a look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week, and an examination of its central figure. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us and tell a friend. Now, of course, we're coming to the end of the year, which means that February will be knocking on our door soon. And so our teacher wishes to tell us more about an event coming up at that time here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Pastor Jack?
Mike, it is a different world out there. People are trying to cope with what's going on financially and so many other ways. And listen, this year's Prophecy Conference theme, which, you know, we brought about this theme, we think, from the Lord many months ago. And the Lord anticipated, of course, giving us this title, but finding hope in the global crisis. And I just think the title itself is prophetic. This is the Southern California Prophecy Conference on these wonderful dates of February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And I think, Mike, it is going to be the answer to a lot of people's dilemma and struggles that they're going through. Because the quality of speakers, what they're going to be bringing to us, and the timeliness of it. So I'm asking everyone to make their way here to Southern California, if you're able, to join us February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I tell you, it is an amazing time. You're going to want to hear what these wonderful teachers of the Word of God are going to deliver to us. I look forward to meeting you, but I tell you what, these are amazing times. Christian, look up. The Lord could come at any time. You can get more information by visiting us at SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. We look forward to seeing you here at what will no doubt become a great event and a great encouragement to your understanding in these times, finding hope in the global crisis.
Okay, well, for more information, visit us at RealRadioactive.org, RealRadioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you a very Merry Christmas.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.